A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, Lucy Bella Earle, I, Luke Cutforth, and our special guest this week, writer and poet Dottie James, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslabe will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh. Dottie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honour to be here.
Are you excited to educate Josh?
I'm very excited. He needs it.
And Dottie. Me and Dottie have a... Well, it'd actually be nice for someone to do a decent job for once.
Wow.
Me and Dottie have had some decent chats outside of the show, so...
I like how Dottie burned you, and then you burned me and Lucy. That's not fair.
Dottie just teed me up. I'm going to pay her 50 quid later.
All right, so last week, Lucy, you led the podcast with your story. How did it perform on Twitter in the polls?
Yes, I asked if we should shame people into making healthier life choices... 38% said yes, 52% said no, and 10% said other.
Very divided.
It's a big difference.
Good contribution, Justin.
Do you know what? I think it's a case-by-case basis. The stats that we came about actual shaming and whether it does or doesn't work. If you feel shame, it does. Fat shaming doesn't work, though. I think that's definitely something I took away, was that fat shaming does not work, because... one of the biggest reasons people eat and are overweight is because they're ashamed.
It's guilt, isn't
so
it?
Don't make that worse.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I noticed, I said, because often I will say I'm on the side of shaming doesn't work, we shouldn't shame, that's mean. But actually, Josh and I, in my personal life, I constantly ask Josh, if I'm doing something wrong, please shame me. So actually...
Well, Eloise on Twitter said, education over shaming every time.
Yeah, straight you can't really argue with that.
Dottie, last week we had Ben Cook in as a guest. Could you please read his story from last week's polls?
Right, so Ben asked, is it okay for shops to differentiate between comprehensive and private students when choosing who is allowed in their stores? 6% said yes, 89% of people said no, and 5% said other.
Pretty decisive,
wow.
I think.
Very decisive there.
I don't think anyone's...
I think the question is a little bit antagonistic.
I do. I think...
Freya on Twitter said, I have been in both a public and a private school, and from my experience, students in private school are worse in terms of stealing.
I think that
companies should... absolutely not make decisions based on the school that people go to, which I would say I agree with.
Last week I asked, should companies be responsible for their customers' actions? Now we had 38% say yes, 62% say no, and nobody said other. Okay, so there was no other option. I apologise for that. What a strange situation
to have. You have one job, Luke.
Well, Dan said on Twitter, they are only responsible if their actions are allowed to continue unchallenged. They are responsible for how they are dealt with, but not the actions themselves. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Dan. And we will now move on to the first story of the week, and that is Dottie's story.
My story comes from the Daily Mail, which says that porn is as harmful as cigarettes and must be treated as a major health crisis with new restrictions on social media, MPs warn. So, Josh, the three things you need to know are that members of the Commons Women and Equalities Committee said porn should receive as much public funding as other major health issues. The MPs insisted public spaces must be made safe for all women and girls, as they called for a ban on viewing adult material on mobile phones and buses.
Oh, fuck off. Sorry.
May I continue with the other things?
Yes.
So the second thing you need to know is that the committee also criticised social media firms such as Twitter and Facebook, noting, "Online spaces are public places where sexual harassment of women and girls is rife. The MPs called on the government to force global internet giants to take action on the issue. The demands were made in a report which found many women and girls were left terrified by sexual harassment fears." And the third thing is that the MPs welcomed the government's plans to bring in age verification for online pornographic sites, but they argued social media firms should do more to tackle sexual harassment or be forced to do so. So my question for you, Josh, is porn equally as dangerous and damaging to society as smoking cigarettes and reckless driving?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
Holy crap, guys. What kind of a question is that? I can't weigh all this up in 20 seconds. All right, I'm going to have a knee-jerk reaction to this, and I'm going to trust you guys to educate me so I can make a better opinion of this one. I don't think it's as equally dangerous and damaging to society as smoking cigarettes and reckless driving, because I'm quite ignorant on the subject, and the other two seem fairly more dangerous in immediacy.
All right, well, I will just
start... That is my point.
I'll just start by saying I really do think this. I really, really do. So I'm very excited. But Dottie, please begin.
I need to read
it. Oh, gosh. Okay, it's a lot, isn't it? I think the question is interesting because it's dangerous in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous to... Obviously, smoking and reckless driving are reckless diving. smoking and reckless
Tom
driving...
Tom Daly is quaking.
Get him out of here. Reckless driving and smoking are very dangerous to your physical health.
Mm.
Whereas porn, don't think there's much evidence to suggest that it is.
Might get a bit sore.
Yeah, might get a bit sore. In terms of societally, I think it has a huge impact, for sure.
Mm.
I think there are some valid things in here about how it can be damaging, but it can also be educational in certain ways. Our society is quite closed about sex.
I don't think porn should be seen as educational at all. I think that's a major error.
It shouldn't be, but I think it definitely has that role.
It absolutely has that role.
I think it helps people accept their sexualities and find out what they like.
No, only because it doesn't exist somewhere
sparingly
else. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So what I'm saying is it is educational. Not that it should be the form of education that we're giving
people. So people are going to it for education because of the absolute lack of sexual advice and
exactly.
health and bi awareness, gay, everything to do with your sex and sexuality is just lacking in education on every platform. It's a joke. There is nothing wrong with porn. There's absolutely nothing wrong with porn until an uneducated person watches it and believes that's how it should be. That's when it becomes dangerous. There are so many different kinds of kinks to porn and so many different things that everyone can find and explore their own kind of sexuality. And look at what they find a turn on. It's meant to. It's a cartoon. It's intensified. It's over dramatized. It's acting. It's acting, guys. It's not anything that is acting shouldn't be educational.
See,
it's an act.
I understand your point. However, I think that you're right in that porn to the conscious self is acting and it's not real. But I think there are layers of your body that don't understand what's going on.
There's a reward system,
yes.
kind of.
And that part of your brain doesn't know what's going on. It just sees that it thinks you're getting loads of sex, and that the way you get loads of sex is to watch loads of porn. And I think my biggest gripe against pornography is I think it can potentially be liberating for females and women in a world that sort of tries to repress female sexuality. However, I think for men, my biggest issue with it is this. If you work in a normal job and you have detailed interactions with 20 women a day, and then you go home and you watch porn and you see in detailed view 50 women a day, and
then you're badly educated at assigning one thing to the other.
No,
if you
no,
can't watch porn
not,
and separate it with the way you treat women in your daily
But I think
life.
There are parts of your brain that you can't control, that are subconscious, that don't understand what's going on. And if you see more women leading to orgasm if you just click to make them take their clothes off, then there are subconscious parts of your brain that will start to associate, oh, I just get sex but whenever I want
you just,
it.
You literally just said it's a great way where women have the power. Their sexuality
no, but I'm talking about
is
men.
What, so that's it's men's problem. Men, porn shouldn't be taken away because men have an issue or men can't separate the two things. Like, The
porn industry is predominantly produced for men. There are starting to be kind of porn sites and porn videos made for straight women. But it is predominantly, if you're talking about the main site.
Yes.
Which I don't know if I'm
And I would also argue like that men are on average, and I will stress that this is on average, men are more physical than... males are more physical than females in their sexuality. Would that be fair?
No.
Really?
I would say in relationships, maybe. Like, if that's what you mean. Like, in everyday life. Yeah, but I would say women are just as...
Are they more expected to be in...
This is just going off the people I know and the conversations I've had about this.
But look at how men used to treat women in like the 50s and 60s and how they treat them now.
Yeah.
I feel like we've made a little bit of progress, but porn was less accessible back then.
Yeah. So we've progressed, but there's more porn. That doesn't make sense.
There is more porn, but it could be seen as an outlet. Look, I don't think porn is great for everyone, but I don't think it's as bad as everyone's making out here.
No, but that's a very good point that you've just made. Porn is more accessible than ever, and men are slowly starting to finally wake up and treat women... as an equal. I can't believe we even have to say this. I don't necessarily think.
I think there's a correlation, but I don't think it's the reason.
I don't think it's the reason at all. Like, yeah. Let's give everybody porn. But we're trying to say that it's a bad thing. And I'm saying, if anything, if you're looking at something like that, then it's obviously not really having much of an effect in the way that men view women. I don't think it's as dangerous.
Would you say it has an effect on the way? Potentially that 13 to 14 year old boys view women.
Someone that is educated correctly, that doesn't grow up in the environment that we do, which is just so not how it should be for women. Like, we grew up, from the moment I was born, I grew up in a male world. That the world is male. The way you look at everything is through the male's perspective. The films, everything.
It's also full of sex. I mean, every billboard, every bus, it has like legs and lips and everything on it.
Yeah,
I think sex already is everywhere, so we can't prevent people from being curious.
No, but sex sells to women as well. Do you not think? Would you buy a lipstick if it was someone that wasn't what you deemed an attractive woman?
I'd probably wouldn't pay as much attention to.
Yeah.
And I also think for straight women, for sure, it's probably a different... Actually, no. I think societally, yeah, there is something to the attractive woman stereotype that makes us buy things and makes us want things, but for different reasons.
I completely agree. I see what they're trying to say here, saying it's as dangerous and damaging to society and cigarettes and all this kind of stuff. I completely agree that public places must be made safe for all women and girls. That's why I was like, oh, fuck off. It's like stating the obvious. It's a ridiculous statement. It should be safe for everybody. No one should be picked on. Yes, it's more dangerous for women and girls, I believe. I think that men in public can be absolutely gross.
Josh, at the start of this story, you had this to say.
I don't think it's as equally dangerous and damaging to society as smoking cigarettes and reckless driving.
Do you agree? With you in the past?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's time for the second story of the week, and that is my story. Josh, my story this week comes from The Telegraph, and it is that Sir Philip Green named as #MeTooScandalBusinessman by Lord Hayne. Here are the three things you need to know. Last week, The Telegraph reported that it had been prevented by a court injunction from naming a well-known businessman who was the subject of serious allegations of racial and sexual harassment by employees. The man in question had entered into compromise agreements with five of the complainants, also known as non-disclosure agreements. However, the next day, Lord Hayne stood up in the House of Lords and announced that he was using the cover of parliamentary privilege, which gives legal immunity upon MPs and peers in respect of things said in Parliament, to name the man involved. He told fellow peers that he felt it was his duty under parliamentary privilege to name Philip Green as the individual in question, adding that the press had been prevented by the courts from publishing the full details of the story, which is clearly in the public interest. However, many are questioning if this use of parliamentary privilege was appropriate. Two of the five complainants expressly stated that they supported the injunction and that they did not wish for the man to be named or for any details to be made public, presumably through fear that they would be capable of being identified from details of the complaints. My question for you is, Josh, is it okay that parliamentary privilege allows lords and MPs to say what they want in Parliament? 20 seconds, Josh, go.
I think in this specific case, it's been used for for good. I don't think that this should be able to be covered by a non-disclosure agreement. I think where I get annoyed by parliamentary privilege allowing lords and MPs to do something different is in cases where, I don't know if you know, but there's a bar in the House of Parliament where MPs are allowed to smoke, and it's the only place indoors that you're legally allowed to smoke. And I find that a little bit gross, that they're above the law in such a simple... You're meant to lead by example. So when rules like that are being broken, that's just like a fat cat, you know, one rule for you, and then another rule for me. In this specific, kind of going off the things that we've talked about, I think he's done the world a service. I don't agree with press injunctions at all. My day job revolves around digital content and things like that, so injunctions on things I completely don't agree with. I also don't agree with two of the five complainants expressly stating that they supported the injunction. I don't think that that's relevant. That's a man that can go out and harm people. This is sexual assault and people need to know about it. I kind of think, who's it that stood up in the House of Lords? And
Lord Hayne,
yeah, he's a great man. I'm completely behind him. My general opinion to everything in general is that if you have a rule, that rule should be for everyone. You shouldn't be able to pick and choose. You can make a very strong case that they need to be able to discuss things without that being able to be used against them. So you can say something that is technically slander but actually not really, and be done for it, and do you know what I mean, and be prosecuted. And you can't be worried about things like that in when you're debating the kind of issues that these guys are. I don't know, what do you guys think?
I suppose I agree with you in many ways there. The thing that I find, I'm not somebody who automatically loves the government or the MPs or whatever, but I think it is different because they
voted to bomb Syria.
But they are elected. They are elected, and so they're elected to do a job. And this rule exists,
and
so that they can
election
do that
gives this man that power. Yeah, you know, and if you're not aware that by you voting for this person, you're giving them that power, then educate yourselves better. Like
exactly. Yeah. For a little bit of background for anyone listening who doesn't understand hasn't heard of this parliamentary privilege thing. Basically what it means is, if I was a sitting MP and I thought Josh had cheated in the election, I would be able to, in Parliament, say Josh cheated on the election without fear that Josh was able to sue me for slander, for saying something that he thought wasn't true. And then if I was outside of Parliament and I said it, he could then sue me. But whilst I'm inside the walls of Parliament and I'm a sitting MP, I can say what I want.
But suing for slander and being kicked out of your party for lying about the opposition, there would be repercussions still if you outright lied in the House of Parliament. You wouldn't be respected as a House of Peers. Like, I don't think you can... I mean, they do a lot of the time, just, you know, throw shade at each other, pretty much. It's worse than Twitter sometimes. Yeah, it's...
The bit that interests me is the part where it says that two of them didn't want to be identified. Was it two?
Yeah,
two of them didn't want to be identified, and that's the moral thing that I'm kind of, like, examining in my head. Is it okay then to potentially out two people who didn't want to be outed?
Well, absolutely not, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But for the greater good kind of thing. It's like...
I think that, to be fair, that's two of them. So they're the minority in that number. There were five.
Well, this is like the thing... A few weeks ago, we were talking about Taylor Swift and about how Taylor Swift had a political opinion and that made the front page news. Mm-hmm. And how we were going my opinion on that was, while I think it's sad that we require Taylor Swift's opinion on politics, maybe that's all we've got when we can't trust our own politicians. And maybe this situation like this, loopholes in the law where we're able to expose wrongdoing that can't quite get published elsewhere and can't quite get prosecuted for, maybe this is what we need. Well, maybe we need whistleblowers like Lord Hayne to come out and sort of subvert the law, because there are grey areas of the law, especially within sexual misconduct.
I don't even think he's subverting it. He's acted completely lawfully.
He's used a loophole, is what I mean.
Yeah, it almost feels like kind of playground politics where, in a good way though, where what's fair is actually looked at rather than what's lawful. If that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, also, I need to point out that all the press, and it's very easy to find out who these people are when there are these press injunctions. It becomes common. You are still aware of what's going on. It's just not reported on or in the papers.
But is it easy for the everyman who doesn't have access to that
probably
information?
Far less easy, but it's still, you're still able to find it out. There's some very famous injunctions that we can't even talk about today.
Use your parliamentary privilege. Tell us all the dirt.
I don't have any parliamentary privilege. I'm not reporting on anything, but... Most of it's tabloid rubbish, things like people's sexuality and stuff like that that can't be reported on.
Or affairs.
Or affairs, things like that. People where, you know, scenarios where people with a lot of money have managed to, you know, make it quiet and go away. I don't see what he's done wrong.
One thing I found really interesting is when we were
they
starting
need
this
parliamentary privilege, surely, to be able to talk the way that they need to and have the discussions that
I think
they need
so,
to.
Yeah.
And be, yeah, so, yeah, absolutely.
But how
it's
can we
okay.
make sure that they're not abusing it? Because if they do abuse it, there's nothing we can do.
Well, I guess that's the point of voting, isn't it? Is if they abuse it, you remove their parliamentary privilege and they don't get back in.
Yeah.
And that's, you can't, I don't think you can legislate for every possible scenario. You have to sort of assume people want to be re-elected and they aren't going to usurp the thing they've been given.
And what were you going to say at the beginning of the discussion?
So at the beginning of the discussion, Dottie said something really interesting where she said, maybe it was Lucy, I can't remember. But somebody said at the beginning of this discussion that the lords have this same privilege and we've not elected them.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, so that's a little bit of a grey area, because while we're giving it to our MPs who we've elected, the lords also have it and they're not elected directly by the people. However,
they are elected by...
By the MPs.
So.
But it is, however, this is interesting in that we often, and I think generally a liberal side of the UK would talk down about the Lords, but actually a Lord has done what we all think is the right thing in this situation. And so actually maybe that does show that there are very good sides to having these close to unelected people who aren't scared about getting re-election, and they can sort of take a stand and go, this is wrong.
I mean, they're still voted for and they're still elected and there's still politics at play.
All I mean is in the general population there's an idea or opinion that lords are unelected.
I don't know, maybe he's now seen as a tattletale. He'll be disrespected in the House of Lords, he'll be seen as a whistleblower, he won't, you know, people will... They'll alienate him. They won't trust him with the same things. Like there's probably some very serious repercussions from him doing this.
A lot of people are saying that he's abused his privilege.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he's as, you know, I think he's risked a lot and probably going to, he's made his life very difficult.
But surely he was aware of that. So for him to risk all of that
means
and
cared.
Still do it means that he thought really it was enough to...
Yeah.
All right, so it's time to move on to the final story of the week, and that is Lucy's story.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
My story comes from The Independent. EU set to stop countries turning clocks back and forward for daylight saving. Here are the three things
God
that you need
left.
To know. Here are the three things that you need to know, Josh. Adjusting the clocks by an hour every spring and autumn could be put to an end by the European Commission after a survey found that most EU citizens were against it. Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker said the continent-wide survey, to which 4.6 million people responded, revealed that 84% of Europeans want to stop moving the clocks back and forward by an hour under daylight saving time. EU law currently requires citizens in all 28 countries to move their clocks an hour forward on the last Sunday in March and switch back an hour on the last Sunday in October. Daylight saving was first adopted during the First World War in the UK to give factories an extra daylight hour to work in. It was introduced by European governments at the beginning of the 1980s to save on energy costs. Advocates say that the switch to give extra morning daylight in winter and evening light in summer can also help reduce traffic accidents. But critics have claimed it can cause long-term health problems, especially amongst young children and elderly people, and research has shown that the time change disrupts sleep schedules and can impact productivity at work. So my question for you is, should we stop turning our clocks?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I have never been affected by... I don't know.
This, I mean, the clocks went back like 2 days ago.
I didn't even notice.
Because really? Your iPhone does it automatically, right?
Ah, clever.
Yeah, I genuinely did not notice. I mean, I've realised I'm a little bit tired today, but I worked 15 hours yesterday, so that's probably that as
That'll
well.
That'll be why.
But how would you feel if in the winter it wouldn't get light until 10 a.m? How would you feel about that?
Awful.
In winter it gets light at night.
In northern Scotland it doesn't get light in the morning until 9 o'clock currently. So if this was put into effect, it wouldn't get light until 10 a.m. No, also, no, we're used to it now. I don't understand. I think there's going to be the same amount of pros and cons on either side.
I think part of the issue here is that, so we're talking, we have in our research, we found that northern Scotland, some parts of northern Scotland wouldn't get light until 10 a.m. because currently they don't get light till 9 a.m. and now they wouldn't get light till 10 a.m. And part of the issue with this is that this is a European-wide survey and most of them aren't in northern Scotland. So they all have the privilege of being down in southern Spain and nice bits of France and stuff like that. So they wouldn't be affected as much. We, thankfully, in this situation, are leaving the EU so we can carry on doing our farmer thing. I think essentially what this is about, Josh, is we all change our time to benefit a small portion of society. It benefits the farmers and it benefits some factories and businesses. Mm. And the central question for this is, should we carry on bothering with that?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's helping people. Imagine, and it doesn't affect me.
Imagine if
it's not tradition.
It had always been the other way around. We never change our clocks.
But then those farmers and those postal workers and everyone, the industries that it does support, wouldn't be kind of used to it, I suppose.
Like, yeah, so would you then be in favour of implementing that change?
If it was suggested.
Because it would be a massive faff implementing that.
I mean, it all happens automatically for me. My iPhone changes and I don't even notice. Yeah.
Analog clocks.
I remember the chaos of being younger, though, and your mum being like, oh my God, the clocks went back and all this.
I think, personally, that it gives us a little bit of something to chat about during the year. It's like once a year, twice a year, we're like, oh, the clocks have changed.
They even mentioned it in the Archers.
That's really good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I think you're right, Josh, in that it doesn't really affect us. If it's a bit lighter, then cool.
Wait, I'm reading this fact, right? Extra hour of evening sunlight in winter could save $485 million a year in electricity bills, as households would require less energy to heat. There's still the same amount of sun.
It's because at night time,
but in the morning they're at work. That's when you're not in the house in peak winter.
And also when you're not in peak/off-peak timing, the electricity is cheaper or more expensive. This is very specific, this conversation, for a podcast. I'm very sorry, Josh.
Well, parks, piers and attractions. The British Association of Leisure Parks, Piers and Attractions think that it would increase domestic tourism by 2.5 to 3.5 billion pounds a year.
Well, great. Domestic tourism, parks, and they're not essential. Farmers, postal workers, food, posts, things that we depend on, I think. Maybe take a bit of priority.
I guess it all depends on who brings in the most taxes.
How do you feel about this as a farmer, Lucy? Or as a farmer living on a farm?
I think that it doesn't actually matter that much, because as long as there are a certain amount of daylight hours, the work can be done.
Yes.
Farmers traditionally like to do things very early in the morning, but I feel like they would adapt.
Because it doesn't change time.
Also, so we have torches and lights.
Yes, and if the farmers want to get up at that time, then they still can. They don't have to listen to what the clock says. They can just get up when they want to get up.
That is true.
It's sort of one of these things where I think this is a bit of a Brexit vote, where actually, really, we don't understand
facts
or
in...
care, and we don't need to be asked this stuff. If it's better for everyone, then the European Union should just do it. Don't ask us. I'm busy.
I just want to know what English people think.
I think this was a big story to get all of the old folk upset about things changing. Wow. And I think that's why it was such a big thing.
That's
in
the
maybe it's to make us all really excited
that
for Brexit.
Such an interesting point,
thing is, though. I wonder if
this,
when did this come about? It was recently, yes.
Yes.
So if this had come about when we had lost an hour instead of gained an hour, which puts everyone in a really good mood, would we still be for it? Like, keeping this losing and gaining time thing?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there is a big thing.
gain an hour in a Sunday in March, and then you lose an hour in a Sunday in October.
No, wait,
and the other way around. You lose.
Sound very uninterested in this story.
Well, it's like it just changes by an hour.
This is cutting edge stuff.
I think it is. There is the argument that I think does affect us.
Where does tourism improve, by the way? Because you're changing it for the entirety of Europe. So if you're changing it in this place, in another place, it gets worse.
No, but this is for the UK. That stat was for the UK. So you can either have it light from 9 till 10 in peak winter, or you can have it light from 3 till 4. You can choose which. Obviously, they would choose 3 to 4 because that's when the most people are out on a weekend to visit the parks.
In the winter.
Things like that, yeah.
I don't know. When it's cold anyway.
But it's bitter in the morning.
In the winter when it's cold.
No one's awake. Down.
Isn't it crazy how such a small thing can make us earn millions of extra pounds? The world is really weird.
But I feel like, okay, I feel like the main issue isn't actually the time. I feel like it's shops staying open. So they only stay open till like 4. And it's, I think that's a ridiculous. Separate issue anyway, but really annoys me.
You don't live in London, do you?
I don't live in London, yeah. So shops only, in my entire life, have only ever stayed open till 4 or 5, and I think that's ridiculous. Anyway.
No, that is true, actually, yeah. Thinking back.
Yeah. It also really annoys me that, you know, the backbone of the Tory campaign to leave Europe was an extra 500 million from the NHS. And if we just change the clocks by an hour, they make it back anyway.
You should put that on a bus, Josh.
Like, holy hell. Like, let's just do more things, like a million different things like this, and we'll all be trillionaires. Let's
put that on a bus and drive it.
I'm really interested to see what the poll results show for this one. I wonder if they comply with the EU citizens.
All right, well, Josh, at the start of this story, you said this.
I didn't say anything, so, like, yeah, we just kind of went into a chat, but...
So you started off saying nothing, and now you don't care.
Yeah, so I've gone from nothing guys, to nothing.
All right, well, you can let us know if you have more of an opinion than nothing over on Twitter and our polls at @EducatingJosh. It is time for the quickfire round. Josh, a shop has stopped selling flour and eggs to anyone under the age of 16, with fears that people will prank at Halloween. Do you think it's okay for shops to stop selling things to kids around Halloween time?
Yes.
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 Yes. A Halloween...
I got egged.
Did you get egged?
No.
Oh, okay. Did you get floured?
No.
Can I flag and... Flag a...
Can I flag me? Flag me, baby.
A hologram of deceased singer Amy Winehouse is set to go on tour after sign-off from her family. Should family members and the music industry be able to tour dead singers in hologram form?
Yes.
Why?
Because I said so.
Okay, cool. The national...
No, I'm joking. I think because they've had sign-off from the family. I don't think, you know, owning the image of someone, they must have had sign-off from the family, so...
Do they have money?
What?
Do the family get money?
Yes. Well, I assume so.
I'd hope so. Right. Like, I just...
With Amy Winehouse, it's a little uncomfortable because her dad was apparently quite using her for money kind of person. Dear. But, yes, well, we'll move on. The national governing body, Swim England, has apologised and removed an article from its website which suggested that women with jiggly bellies should avoid wearing bikinis. Do you think that women with jiggly bellies should avoid wearing bikinis?
No, I love a good jiggly belly.
I love a good jiggly belly.
I love a good jiggly belly.
And the good news story of the week is... Gay penguins successfully hatch baby chick and take turns to care for it. Producer Jack, can you please explain how that happened?
Okay, so... So, there are these two penguins, same-sex couple.
Got that from Gay?
Yep.
Yep.
And they haven't actually had the chick themselves, obviously. It was like a...
They've reared it.
They're rearing, they're taking it in turns to look after it.
Is it two guys as well?
Yeah.
Because guys traditionally sit
on
the
egg. Well, two guys penguins, not two guys. Yeah. Me and you, Josh, are going to hatch a penguin.
Well, I don't think we'd be able to. We don't have the right body heat and stuff like that, but...
All right, I'm sorry, guys. We're going to have to end the show. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. Thank you to our guest, Dottie James. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh. We'll be polls and content from each today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We also want you to send in more questions for next week's quickfire round.
And make sure, if you haven't already, go check out Dottie's stuff. It's absolutely
amazing. Please, Dottie James on everything.
Ooh.
Brilliant.
Please go subscribe, and most importantly, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh.
Goodbye.
Do you have a joke of the week, Lucy?
I do. I got this one from Reddit. It's
wow.
An absolute clanger. Why clanger. Haven't a...
It's got its own TV show.
I thought you were going to say corker, but you went with something else.
Corker.
Clanger.
Why haven't aliens visited our solar system yet?
I don't
they
know.
They looked at the reviews. Only one star.
Oh.
Okay, bye.
Poor.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.